What does that mean to you? Well, we're going to our trusty standby here this morning for the word economy. And I want you to pay close attention to the first given definition of Webster's 1828. Primarily, first definition, I think most of us, we think, you know, economy, you know, Wall Street, money, goods and services exchange. That's part of it. But first and foremost, and it comes from a Greek word that we get the English word economy from. I was about to mispronounce the Greek here, that we see in Scripture. But number one, primarily, the management, regulation, and government of a family or the concerns of a household. So does anybody as a Christian, as a part of the church, see a tie-in to the words family or household? Yeah, both are used in Scripture. So oftentimes when people are communicating this idea that the Lord gives us, they will talk about God's economy, right? Not talking about God as our stockbroker, banker, or managing our retirement accounts, although God does provide for us through many different ways. We're talking about the way the Lord governs His house or His family, because He is our Heavenly Father. So in God's economy, stick with this for a moment here, and let me draw your attention to your Bible. Make your way, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, please. Our text for this message, and the title of the message is God's Economy, is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, one that we all know quite well, I think. Verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. As a Christian, there's two ways to look at this verse. One of them is in accordance with what the Lord wants. And one of them is, well, the way we see it when we live according to the old economy, not the way that He wants. Let me go the old way first. Think about Peter in the previous teaching. Right? If Peter would have been left in the state that he was before he was united together with Jesus in His death and resurrection, and the Lord would have given him the Great Commission, we would have seen one miserable Peter, a lot more bitter weeping at his own failure, because Peter, like you, I believe, I know I have, would look at this passage and say, "What do you mean? Everything is new. Old things have passed away. The old man is still here, and he still seems to be in control." Well, that's the perspective that even a Christian has, and is quite common, when we look at it according to what we can do, not according to what the Lord has done. And in what the Lord has done, what only He can do. We know that that's how the Lord wants us to see this passage in verse 17, because it starts out with, if anyone is in Christ, united together with Him in His death on the cross and His resurrection to the new life. Both realities before us. So, it's very simple to understand up here. But there's going to be a long time and series of battles that the Lord will win, every one, to make it the reality in our life. But it starts with the understanding. There's a new way of living. to the Christian who says, yeah, church, I don't know, I'm looking for a new one because the old one doesn't do anything for me. You might ask yourself, well, what church were you in? The one he placed you in, he's building, where all things are new, there's this new way of living? Or is it somebody with good intentions based on their position and even access to the Holy Spirit, but no practical death to the old is making happen? That gets, it's like, when you look at these things and it's just not happening. No, God's economy, the way that he guides and protects and provides. Behold, all things have become new. Make it personal in our application here for a moment. How does that look in my life? Opportunity for examination. Do I do my Christian life much like Peter in the garden? With good intentions, my strength, my understanding? Or is it altogether new? Yeah, looks the same on the outside, but I don't depend on myself. I don't make vows on my ability. Right? I'm so completely cut off from that. I'm dead to that. And in so being dead, there's a way for the Lord to live through me. We could say, wow, their life, that sister, that brother, they live by faith in the Son of God who loved them and gave himself for them. Wow. And now we see him through them. So in this very short but very important message for this church today, as we look at God's economy, there's one simple concept with where the new life has the possibility of showing up. It begins with the understanding that where Peter was in the garden is not where you are, right? Not where Peter was on the day of Pentecost. Every Christian, you're now joined into a new reality in Christ with the possibility of it showing up. Manifesting is that word, right? Making visible is what manifest means. So we could perhaps add to our title, God's economy manifest. But to say that, we'd have to put the question mark until it clearly is. The point that we need to understand, and if you understand the biblical principle that God often but not always puts key concepts with two or three really clear references in his word, we could find three this morning that I will give you. The first one, and these are familiar to some of us, we've been hearing them. The idea is as a Christian, as being in Christ, you already have everything you need. Where do we find that? Well, you find it in Ephesians chapter 1. He has blessed you with every spiritual blessing. Past tense. I want to just put a quick emphasis on the word blessing. This is how I know that I get this, how it's happening, and how you get it. I see the happiness or the joy of the Lord. I'm not talking to people that are like, yeah, you know, I know, and God's got a plan. Well, it's just me. I can't give it. That's not blessing. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Did you notice in the previous teaching in the garden, sorrowful? Not a fruit of the Spirit. Jesus was subject to it, but he didn't yield to it. Peter was stuck there. And would have to be until the cross, until Pentecost. But not you. You don't have to live in that place, right? Because he has blessed you, Ephesians chapter 1, with every spiritual blessing. And, well, again, in Colossians chapter 2, verse 10, you are complete in Christ. When we're going through the painful experience, when we're unhappy, we think there's something missing. Our prayers show this. We go to God to get something that we don't have. We don't go from the realization that you already have it to thank him and trust, Lord, maybe we need something like guidance on what we already have. Maybe we need the Lord to reveal what he's already given to us and how it applies to our situation. Plenty of room. But this position, it's like, no, the Lord's already taken care of this. And when you do that, you shut the door on the enemy, by the way, where many of us fall into. Has God really said, oh, yes, he has. And he doesn't change his mind. The last place, the third of our three references, 2 Peter chapter 1. We are told very clearly that he has given us all things that pertain to life and God. All things. And, you know, it's all things. Not one more thing is needed that we don't have access. What's needed is for us to realize them, well, in our experience. Now, there's several things that the Lord shows us and explains to us, and then the Lord walks us through. Don't make the Peter mistake thinking, now I know this, I can do it. No, no, the cross is always the key. We never graduate from that knowledge. Where we're going to turn this morning is just one passage where the Lord really drives it home what this looks like. The life of Christ, even in difficult times. God's faithfulness, even in the midst of temptation, where he doesn't fail. Think Jesus in the garden, right? Jesus didn't fail, but is there any example where his followers afterwards, right? His disciples went through hard times, but yet didn't fail. And they were thankful. And then somehow they manifested the real nature or life of Jesus. Before we turn to it this morning, right? That prayer that we pray, fantastic. And I believe all the teachings are evidence that the Lord has committed himself to making it happen. Make us the church that you want us to be. I'm going to add a new aspect of understanding to that. This is the church. Well, we'll call them the show me church. Where if you come into this church, it's not just that you're going to hear about Jesus. Of course you are. That's what the Holy Spirit does. You're going to see him. The show me Jesus church. That's the church that the Lord wants us to be. That's the church that the Lord has made it possible for us to be. That's the church that the Lord has directed this teaching to this morning. You have your Bibles open to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look one chapter previous, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And let's pick it up this morning here in verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. Our brother Paul writes by the Holy Spirit, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. He's previously talked about what's available in Christ. We said, you know, but here right now, as long as we're here in this human body, it's referred to differently, it's not what you see here. It's not my strength. The old man perishes, but the inner man's being renewed day by day. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. He's talking about the body you temporarily inhabit. You're going to get an upgrade. So we're talking about what does life look like here as a Christian when we understand and trust these truths by faith so that the Lord makes it a reality. Well, let's continue to read. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Let me hold up there. There'd be a distinct difference. In this kind of a church, like the Show Me Jesus church or Show Me the Life of God church, you could go there and grab any one of the brethren and see a real example of how God did something that no human could do. Probably the extreme opposite for an example would be a church that so desperately wants that to happen and their good intention, but they think it's up to them. So you look to the people, not the any person who's in Christ, but let's get somebody who's accomplished in this world. A captain of industry, a celebrity, an Olympic gold medalist. Any one of that person is the one that we're going to look to for guidance. We're not saying that the Lord doesn't use them, but that kind of person would be the kind of person to say, you know, I was that, but I count it as rubbish, man. Left me empty. Kind of like the Apostle Paul. In his day, in his field, he was all of that and more. But knew it was nothing. Right? That the excellence might be of the power of God and not of us. Verse 8. Paul and his fellow ministers' current reality were hard-pressed on every side. There was pressures in this fallen world, yet not crushed, didn't take them out. We are perplexed. I don't really understand what's going on. That's okay. You're not God. He does. Because of that, we're not in despair. Persecuted. Not everybody loves the Lord. Most don't. They persecuted Jesus. They're going to persecute you. But not forsaken. Remember what Paul wrote? All have forsaken me, but the Lord stood with me. He will never leave you or forsake you. Struck down, but not destroyed. The work of God can't be. Always, here it comes. Here it comes, verse 10. Always carrying about in the body while you're living here, right? In this physical body. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Hey, the Lord's going to put you in circumstances that you can't meet. Kind of like Peter in the garden. What's the answer to this? The end of me, so it's the beginning of him. Always carrying about in the body while I'm here the dying of the Lord Jesus. Oh yeah, Jesus died to all of the possibility of sin in this world. So did I. I'm going to carry that with me always. That the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. There's that word, right? That's fruit, brothers and sisters. That's something that we would, as we carefully examine ourselves before the Lord, it's not because I know His word, I've memorized Scripture. I want to see the purpose of the word at work. Him, his life in me now. Paul continues in verse 11, for we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our mortal flesh. So yeah, there were death threats, but I think he's talking about, God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of Christ. It's always got to be that way. Paul knew, and he told the church, right? It's not us. It's the Lord. What did we die to? Well, anything of our own understanding, our own ability, our own self-confidence, all those things, right? So that new and living way, the life of Christ, might be manifest in our body in this mortal flesh. Verse 12. So then death is working in us, but life in you. Now, here's kind of a turnaround. Paul knew that the Lord was using him to minister to others. Right? He's writing to them. Think back about what we saw earlier today with Peter and the others. They were eyewitnesses to the cross. They were eyewitnesses to the resurrection. All these things. They were chosen. They had the Holy Spirit. But Jesus told them, you wait in Jerusalem. Right? You're not going to be able to do it until you're joined together with me in death and resurrection. We know, because the Spirit really impresses upon us, we have this great desire to see others saved. We have previously said, and we've looked at quotes from other brothers, that the Lord does not put ministry before character. In other words, He develops His servants first and then sends them out. Here we see the fruit of understanding. It has to be the Lord and not ourselves. So how does this apply? Do you want to see more people really saved? Well, sure, the Lord does. Only the Lord can do it. A church that understands will wait upon the Lord. They will be prepared by the Lord, and then they will be sent by the Lord. But the Lord's not going to send us if it's our best efforts, if it's our good intentions, if it's our strength. It'll never work. So he prepares us first. That is, brothers and sisters, what the Lord is doing with us. That's the emphasis. I'm excited about these are things we've prayed for a long time. And I'm convinced it takes a long time for the Lord to make this real in our lives. So it's this other-centeredness now, verse 12. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, he didn't see themselves above the church, right? It's the same Lord that they trust in. According to what is written, I believed, and therefore I spoke. There's the order again. God put it out. They trusted by faith, and now they're qualified to speak to others. I believe, therefore I speak. So also we believe, therefore we speak. It's not like I'm just telling you these things and they're not real in my life, Paul could say. I think that's the essence of what he's communicating. Knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all these things are for your sakes, that grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Okay. Here's a quick aside thing. We understand that Paul was a minister, right? He was a servant of the gospel, as Paul had said. But you know what Paul also, by the Holy Spirit, wrote to the church? Imitate me as I imitate Christ. It wasn't something that was just for Paul and nobody else. The idea was that the Lord would call and prepare people and then send them out to reproduce in the others what he produced in them. Right? Till we all come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It has to start with somebody. We believed and therefore we spoke. So I think of this ministerial qualification, my word, so don't get lost in something, oh, it sounds boring here. Right? Well, I want to be used for the Lord. Okay. Let's see you manifest his life. I think it's the primary qualification. Well, I can tell you what. No. Show me. Well, I can show you this. I used to think it was me, and the Lord made it very clear it could never be me. And then as I drew near, he told me these things, what he wanted to do, and the Lord told me this, and I tried. Then the Lord made it happen. There we go. And, well, it only happened for a while. Then I burnt out. Then I retired. No. We're struck down. We're not destroyed. Well, then I got really sick, and so I quit. No, the outer man may perish, but the inner man is renewed day by day. Sometimes we think the power of Christ is lightning bolts, earth opening. Well, those things happen, right? Pretty rarely. You know what's a lot more rare? To see the power of God in the life of someone who truly believes. That's what the Lord is doing. I'm going to throw one more quote up here. I told you the second one was short this morning where we finish up. You saw this previously. I just wanted to kind of burn in because I think we've seen the scripture here this morning that supports it. One brother who understood the concept said this: it would be well if all who contemplate, who are engaged in the work of God, let me hold up there for a moment because I think that's everybody in the church. We think about it. And to some extent, we're engaged. Or maybe it's like, what's my ministry? Jesus is our life. That's our ministry. If we're engaged in the work of God, we're governed by this one absolute final law. This is a brother's terms, right? This is scripture, but he thought it was obviously very important. And I agree with him. It's very important that both as to themselves and to those amongst whom they minister, apply this. We must test all things by scripture to what Paul is saying and showing. Would the Holy Spirit agree with this as he ministered to and through Paul? Would Peter relate to this? Peter, what was more important, how you did or what Jesus did through you? Well, here's what the brother said, that all who contemplate, who are engaged in the work of God, were governed by this one absolute final law, that both as to themselves and as to those amongst whom they minister, the ultimate test, I so agree with this, not how much work is done, Lord, Lord, did we not cast out demons in your name, prophesy in your name, do many wonders in your name? Okay, well, that's quite a few things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. No, right? Not how much work is done, but how much of Christ is present. That's always the evidence of the Holy Spirit working. Let's tie it into Scripture before we pass on. How much Christ is present. Jesus said when the Holy Spirit is given, he would take of what is his, the Lord's, and declare to you, he will glorify me. What does glorify mean? Honor? Manifest. When someone is yielded to the Lord, the cross is in effect. They're dead to their own will and alive to Christ. The very life and character, nature of God shows up. Manifests through them to others, and people see it. It's how you know, brothers and sisters. The ultimate test is not how much work is done, but how much Christ is present, or I would throw in parentheses, and, because it has a purpose, results from the sharing. Right? That's the purpose of teaching. Put Jesus before them so it results or shows up in them. Now, it's not always, because sometimes Christ is preached to the mob who turns on people and wants to kill them. Okay? But that only happened because Christ was truly presented. The real one. Not a different one that's more palatable. The one who says, it's all possible if you will trust me as the Lord of your life. Then salvation kicks in. Let's wrap it up. God's economy. The Lord is emphasizing to us, brothers and sisters, there's a new way of living, and it might require, for those of us who have been church a long time, or even in this church for a long time, as the Lord has been preparing this moving, we might have to really unload from a lot of things that we love, but nothing that He loves. Things that we think, no, this is how we do church. Might just be one teaching for 17 minutes, then we do this, and then we're out. No, might be, hey, where's Jesus in all of this? Was He present this morning? Two things I know for absolute certain as we close. As I sought Him and said, Lord, I have no ability in myself to put an end to myself, but I know that You have. So I'm looking to You. Just show me what You want to focus Your people's attention on this morning. And it just came in waves. And a huge passage with so much. You focus on this. The need for what I did for them, for what they already have. And for them to understand, it's going to be evident that we know this when our lives are changed. Amen. Father, we thank You, Lord. We thank You for what You have done, Lord. We thank You for who You are. We thank You for what You are doing. We thank You for what You will do. Lord, let us surrender to everything that's not of You. Show us the difference, please. Let us fearlessly accept whatever the outcome might be. Lord, there's opportunities starting right now to walk in the newness of life. We might have our expectations, our routine. I think you've just gently reminded and challenged us a little this morning. It's about what You said. It's about where You are. It's about what You're doing. It's about You showing up in us. So I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, that we have heard what the Spirit has said to this church today. Father, I pray for any of those who are not in You, but You're drawing to Yourself. And that for all the years that they have seen in others what looks like hypocrisy, saying one thing and living another way is not who You are, is not what You are teaching. For any of us who have been going to church for a long time and thinking that it's something we can do, but are still not in You, Lord, that if today's the day that You draw them to Yourself, I ask for that. And finally, Father, give all of us understanding in what you're doing right now, Lord, because you truly are working all things together for good to those that love you, to those you have called according to your purpose, to those who walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Have your way, Father, we ask. Having asked your will, we thank you in faith, Lord. And now let us rejoice together with you in what you have and are and will accomplish. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.